Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Welcome everyone to Forever Family Foundation's radio show. This is a show, as most of you know, I'm sure, that the foundation created for you so that you can call in and talk about the experiences you've been having and listen to those experiences of others. We all have had experiences that defy the mainstream way of looking at things. We've lived for centuries in a culture that said that there's nothing but matter. And when we cross over, when we die, they say, that's the end of everything. But our experiences are telling us a very different story. It may be that these stories are not stories we can tell just anyone, anywhere, at any time. And that's why the foundation created this program, so that you would have the opportunity to be comfortable and talk about what you're experiencing and ask questions about it, as we will question ourselves too, and see what we can make of what's going on. I'm Betty Kovach. Once again, Kimberly Saavedra usually introduces the show, but she's working once again. We're hoping that will change soon. So I'm going to be here to sort of take her place. We hope things will change soon. So is going to be Janet Mayer and myself tonight. Janet Mayer is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Here. And actually, when you think about that title, it's exactly the theme of our radio show, that we are experiencing that fact that the spirits are here in this dimension in another form, and they are changing our worldview. I am the author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. So let's hear your stories. Please do call in. If you don't, you'll have to listen to Janet and me for the evening. So call in and tell us your stories. And there are a couple of numbers. I'll give them to you. The first one is 888-627-6008. That is 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. So, Janet, what do you have on your mind tonight while we're waiting for our first caller?
Hi, Betty. Well, first of all, you were close. My book is Spirits, They Are Present. You had here, and that they are here, but they are present. So just so you know, that's pretty close, but I wanted to let you know that, and I know you were, I know you know the book, but it just, you were thinking here instead of present because it's the same. So I just thought I'd get that out really quick.
Did I say here and not present?
Yeah, that's okay though. It's okay. Because they are here, so they're present. So it's that's exactly it. So
okay,
I just thought I'd, you know, but that's pretty funny. I wanted to start off today before we, you know, when we have callers, of course, we'll stop and get the callers. But, you know, I was starting off today with eliminating your boundaries and expectations when you're trying to connect to the spirit world. And the reason why that kind of jumped out to me was because I think people have such an idea of what happens once you die. And they, you know, some people think that's it. You know, you go to dust. Some people think, oh, they're, you know, they go up, they go down, they go here, they go there. And I think that when we try to reframe it in a way of not putting boundaries around a loved one who has passed and saying, you know, I know you're in a wonderful place. Can you please show me, or please, can you give me, you know, a sign, however you would like, if, you know, you call my name, if you say this. And I think it kind of opens the door for them to come through in the best way that they can. And you know, people all the time say, well, I think they're going to come through this way. They're going to come through this way. And they may, but they may also come through in a different way. Or they may have been trying before you even thought, oh, they're going to come to me this way. They may have already been trying to come through in another way. And I think that when we don't have boundaries around a certain idea, I think that also allows them and allows us to be more open. And it allows us to accept something that's coming our way that we're not kind of, I don't want to say we're blocking it, but sometimes, you know, you think, oh, no, that's probably not them. You know, oh, I don't know. That does, I don't know about this. I think when, you know, you can definitely ask for a sign, but I also think it's important to keep the boundaries open and to allow them to come through how they need to come through. And I also think that we need to have expect, you know, I always say, you know, like, you know, you can check the expectations because we think, oh, they're gonna come through right away. Well, we don't know exactly when they want to come through. You know, they could come through right away. But if, you know, I had a grandmother who came to me over 20 years after she passed. And I, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, how could that possibly happen? You know? And I think that it's really important that we stay open to when they need to come through, and maybe we have to go through something here, you know, once they passed, you know, we've changed. We're no longer that same person. You know, we're now a diff we're in a different space. And I think it's important to remember that and to, you know, be open to the, you know, keep the boundaries open and remember that when we have expectations, we can have them, but just simply saying, I know they will come through when the time is right, that's important. And then one other thing that I'd like to add on to that is, you know, if you do feel like you receive something, you know, one thing I do have in my book is, you know, I always wrote everything down. I would write a date, the time. I always did the time. And I would write what I got, what I received. And then, you know, I would kind of know, I would start to see a pattern. And that really helped me as well, you know, and it also helps like if you're getting something, you know, outside of, you know, a loved one passing. So those are just a couple little things that were kind of on my plate at the beginning. What do you think, Becky?
Well, I think that that's yeah, there's something to really think about. Certainly, we've talked a lot about being open, but I think it's, you know, sometimes we don't know we're not open, but
Right.
I think also that I like how you always stress that that can happen, the coming to us of a loved one can happen many years in earth time afterwards. I've talked with people who have told me that they received nothing for a long period of time and they didn't expect it and they didn't believe anything could come through. They really wanted it to happen, but they just didn't believe it could. And it was years later, after other experiences, that happened, that a loved one did come through in various ways. So I think there's at least one reason why it might not happen now, but there are a lot of reasons, I suppose. But I just think it's, we want it so much, you know,
Right.
that
Well, and
even,
you do. I mean, everybody does.
yeah, that in itself could, and I remember after our son died that our son from the other side told his dad that he was having difficulty getting through to me. Because I really was still holding on, and I didn't think I was. I thought I would really done a good job of trying to let go, and but he said, just, you know, if you pull up the anchor, the ship will move.
That's
And
true.
yeah, and it just things sometimes we're doing that we don't that we think we're doing the opposite, that, you know, so it's just. It's difficult to know why, but it's so important to be persistent, to
Right.
open and persistent, and wait openly for something like that to happen. Always be ready for something like that to happen.
Right. Well, and you know, when you think about it, we're, you know, everybody, no matter. You know, when somebody passes, a lot of times people will say, you know, and the world keeps going, you know, and you're stopped, you know, your world stopped, but the world keeps going. And it's like then we get, you know, absorbed into this whole, you know, thing of what we have to go day to day. We have to live day to day, and we're just trying to get through it, trying to move forward. And I think that, you know, that's another reason why maybe, spirit sometimes might wait a little longer, or they may be trying to get through, but you just have so much going on in your head that, you can't, you're not in that place yet. And then something will happen, and it's like, the whole world opened up, and you think, somebody will say something to me like, I had no idea. I didn't think that could ever happen to me. And it's like, no, that's how it works. And then you hear, that's why we're too on the shore. There's all these wonderful stories out there that people are sharing, and it's every story is wonderful. It's not yours is better than mine. It's not, oh, this is just something little. I mean, there's callers that sometimes will say, why is something little? And I'm like, no, it really isn't. Every story is profound that they're coming through. A loved one, think about it, a loved one that has passed is coming through, and they're, connecting with you on whatever level it works for you. And I mean, it's just beautiful. And sometimes when I will say something like, that's wonderful, then I later on I'll think, wow, I guess that maybe wasn't the right thing to say, that it was wonderful. But then I'm like, no, it really was, because these stories are profound, they are beautiful, and they are amazing. And when you tell somebody and they don't get it, it's like you can feel that weight, like, oh
I
gosh, I don't know if I should do
know.
that.
Yeah, it's like something amazing to you, and then it just drops.
Right. And then you have to, that's why I said too, you have to just not, you have to let, everybody is in their own space. You got to let them be who they are, but you know what is, happened around you or happened to you. I mean, I've had so many experiences throughout my life, and I think that that opened me up early. But I think about, well, what if I didn't have that? How would I feel? What would that be if I had that first experience? And I'm like, I had my first experience when I was a little kid. So for me, it was very unusual, and it, like I wasn't one of the mediums that, oh, it was wonderful and beautiful and, what light. I was more a little kid that was afraid, like, oh my gosh, what am I seeing? It's a ghost,
Yeah.
So, everybody has their own experience, but it's kind of like, you kind of grow through it. I love the word, was one of the callers said, you mature into a relationship with someone. And that is true. And I think that, when we remind ourselves of that we're all vibrations and we all connect with each other in our own way, then that's what also opens the door and kind of extends those boundaries for us.
Yeah, and it is different because, unlike you, I grew up, I had a very happy childhood. We were out in the country. I had a brother who was older. We played and played, and we created worlds and stories and played games. And yet I didn't have any kind of experience like that. And I heard later, of course, of people having them, but I think maybe by that time, I doubted it. I didn't know whether it was true or not. And so I went through a long period of my life really simply looking for and trying to open to experiences. However, I did dream. And so the dreams were guiding me throughout my life. I didn't have the kind of experience in the outer world. Of course, no one had died yet in my life that I was trying to get in touch with, but I just didn't have the kinds of experiences that you had or that so many people have. So I started reading Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, and of course he certainly encouraged writing down the dreams. So I started doing that. I started from the time I was in graduate school, and I started having some incredible dreams because I stopped believing. I was having a lot of trouble believing in Christianity, and I didn't believe. And once I stopped believing, it opened my mind for so many other things to come through. Certainly, that doesn't mean that I don't see the beauty and the spirituality in Christianity, but some of the stories, the way they interpreted them, I didn't believe. I felt kind of lost. Well, then I started having dreams, and the images that came through were not Christian images. They were images of a female divinity as well as a male divinity, and of the sacred marriage between the two. And I didn't even know about those things at that time, Great spiral, there was a great misty spiral rising up out of the water, and I was confronting the divine feminine, but the spiral coming out of the water was the divine masculine. And I just lay with my, I just was prostrate before the feminine because this was soul. This was what I had been looking for. And the masculine came out in the spiral and touched my spine. And I was so sure that someone was in the room. I jumped out of bed and sat up the rest of the night with a light on because it was so so real. And I think that was really the beginning of very profound dreams. But that was it. It was dreams, really, until much later in life.
Wow. Well, hold on. Let me give them the number real quick. Everybody, the number. It is 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Okay. I just didn't want to forget to give the number out again. And Betty, you know what? That sounds like too with your dreams. It was kind of like having a like spontaneous Kundalini energy come through you when you're, you know, the way that all ruptured around you in your dream. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about Kundalini at that time. But later when I heard about it, I thought, well, it certainly was awakening at the base of the spine. But I was thinking too that sometimes when we lose them, well, when someone transitions to the other side, that we are prepared by dreams that we have beforehand. And that was very, very strong. For 2 years, I did dream about my son's death before it happened. And then 2 years later, my husband was also killed, but I started dreaming and he started having visions of his own death. So we both were having visions and dreams of his death. And and then the morning before he was going, he went to Hungary, to his home country, from time to time to see his family and also do business. And so one morning he had a vision with the goddess with him, telling him that it was time. And he resisted that. And I said, well, no, it's not time. I'm not ready to go. And don't you think I should have a say in this? And she said, well, of course, who else would? In other words, his choice from the other side that he didn't know about on this side. And then when he did go to Hungary, his home country, he was killed in an automobile accident. So it's so we'd had those visions and dreams of both our son's death and then his death. So the dream can be very, very powerful. And I was so happy that I had written them because I started after our son's death, after both deaths, I started writing them down. And as you said, then I could see the patterns. The patterns were incredible again and again and again. And so the whole story began to make sense, which I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. I mean, that's kind of how it worked with me where mine was a little different, but I was writing everything down because all of a sudden something would happen. I'd be like, well, I know I knew that. I thought about that a couple of days ago. And then there'd be something else happening. I'd be like, I knew that person was going to pass. And I'm like, no, I must be going nuts. And I thought, okay, well, the only thing I can do for my sanity of knowing, because things were happening so often, like it was happening all the time, I thought, okay, I have to start writing it down. And that's what I did. And also too, like you said, with the dreams, that is very prevalent for anyone. Like, you know, you can ask for a dream from a loved one to have them come through. If that's an easier way for you to connect with them, because sometimes that all it needs is, I always say, just has to open the door. You just got to let that door open. And then once you have that experience, you start seeing it a little more and a little more. And I think that with dreams, that happens often. And I would write that down too. I would get in the habit of just, you know, going to sleep and saying, okay, is there anything I need to know for tomorrow? You know, is there anything I need to do? And I would just, you know, sometimes I'd have a dream, sometimes I wouldn't. And I would, like you said, start to see the pattern. And I'd be like, and then what kind of mood was I in before I went to sleep? Or was there a lot on my mind? Is it kind of like, sometimes I call it a junk dream, you know, where it's just a combination of everything that's been going on in your life. And it all plays out in some weird, you know, circusy type of dream. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, but it tells you so much about yourself and where you're more open, you know, like, are you more open when you go to sleep where someone can come visit you and give you a, you know, a premonition or give you just a message saying, hey, I'm here, I'm okay. Or maybe you'll, right before you sleep, when you're in that, you know, right beforehand, they may be able to come through then. And I think that it's really important to stay open to all the different avenues that they can come through.
Yes, and I think, you know, when we talk about patterns, you know, we start seeing the patterns in our own lives. But what I was amazed with is after I published the book, Miracle of Death, then I was talking with quite a few people who had experienced death, of course, of someone they loved. And many of them, of course, experienced the death of a son or a daughter. And they began to get the information. I think we've talked about this before, but they began to get the information that their son or daughter had crossed over, had chosen to do that from the other side before birth, even to cross over at this time and work then with the parents who were in this dimension to help us to break the worldview that there's nothing but matter, and that when we're dead, it's all over, and consciousness does not continue. And my husband and I had that with our son, and we remembered in visions separately that indeed that was the case, is that to work on waking ourselves up to the fact that consciousness continues, as well as telling our stories so that others could hear that too. But I've just confronted so many people. I just the other day met someone who's, there are three mothers who had their sons, some, really all of them tragically died, and they're making a film, and I'll tell about the film when it comes out. But they all had that experience that the sons had gone for a particular reason, because the earth is going through such an incredibly difficult period that we must know, first and foremost, we must know that our consciousness continues, that there is no death, that that is step one, and that many, many people are working on that.
Yeah, well, that will be a really good movie when it comes out to, you know, help other people and to help them understand. I mean, you know, and the thing is too, Betty, I mean, that's, if I always go back to that same story of, if we would have only known when we were young that this is really what it is, that we really do continue on, you know, there really is consciousness. We really do go to, you know, it's just right now I always say we're a spirit being in a physical body. That's really where we are. And all we do is lose the physical body and we continue on in spirit. And I, you know, or continue in consciousness, what, you know, whatever words you want to use. And it's just, I always think if people would know that at a young age, how would that change their life? How would they live differently? How would they be more open and say, okay, this is what it is? You know, I always think about that because, you know, I've always had that, you know, there were so many things I saw that I didn't understand. I was raised Catholic and they weren't giving me the answers of why am I having, you know, what am I seeing? Why is this happening to me? I'd go to church every week. You know, I put that in my book that, and I'd be sitting there waiting for them to talk about us normal people, you know, that are having these experiences. It's not just, you know, in the Bible, and it's like, what's going on? And I think I just had to learn, you know, for whatever reason, I had to learn it in that way and just say, okay, this is the road I'm going down and I know it exists and all these people around me don't, and
That's
I know it's going on.
But it's wonderful that you knew, you know, because I, on the other hand, grew up with a horrible fear of death. And my mother's mother.
Oh, no, I was afraid too. Don't get me wrong. I was very afraid. I just was afraid that I didn't want to die yet. You know, it was just weird.
That's also true. That's another kind of, but I mean, that at least you knew, or not at least, that's a big thing, that there is no death. And the people I was around, they experienced tragic deaths, early deaths, and it was just tragic. And it was, while I think that many of them were religious, but it didn't seem to play much of a role when someone died, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up with that horror.
Yeah, I think but that's why it's so important now to talk about it, because we can, you know, be happy and share joy that they are still existing on the other side. You know, it's not that we're happy they're gone. It's just where, you know, you're in a good place knowing that they are okay. They have continued on. They are around us. They're doing their thing. They're, you know, I mean, how many times do you talk to somebody who has passed and you're like, hey, just wanted to say hi. Don't know if you're busy over there, but I just want to let you know this is what's going on. Or, you know, hey, I was thinking of you today and, you know, such and such happened. And so I just want to send you love. And I know you're feeling it. And I think it's just when we just do that and we're like, remind ourselves they are around us. They are there. I mean, you know, like, oh, I had this joke I had to tell because I was thinking of you today, and you told me a joke every single time I saw you. And so, you know, it made me laugh. And it's just, and it brought me happiness to think about, you know, that person. And I thought, okay, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's like we can now, where we are, the places from where we were to where we are now, you know, you can find that a joy in knowing that they are continuing on, even though the loss here is so, you know, difficult and so hard, it's
Exactly.
still, they're in a good place.
Well, I think it's not only that they're continuing, certainly they are, but that they are doing very creative work on the other side. I mean,
Right.
the Christian idea of rest and peace, it just doesn't,
Yeah.
it jive with me. But, and I think that we've had so much information from the other side that people are on the other side. They are working. I had the feeling when our son died that he was at 20 years old, and it was sort of like he had gone off to some place to work. I mean, you know, to do something that, well, he'd gone, of course, to the other side to do something he couldn't do from here. And it was, I had one of the dreams I had was, it's before he died. And I wouldn't have thought this way at that time. But I dreamed that I was in the woods, and I was in a two-story building, and it was made of glass, so that it was evening, just evening. And so all of the green, all of the beautiful nature came in through those windows. And I was downstairs meditating. I went upstairs, and I had a child that I was taking care of, and I needed to put to be sure that the child had gone to sleep. And when I walked into the room upstairs, there was a male, there was a soul. And it seemed like he was a very strong spirit. And I didn't recognize him in that form, but I knew that it was, he was safe, that it was fine, that on some level I recognized him. And so he was sitting on the couch, and he waited for me to put the baby to bed. And then when I did, I came back and I sat down, and then we began to talk. And I realized that he was someone who was going to pass over, and that he had come back, that he would come back in spirit to do work. And this is just the last paragraph of it. Well, I don't see, I seem to have had it in the wrong one. He made it very clear that he was had was going to leave. He was on the other side, but he was coming back, and the two of us would be in a partnership to work for ourselves, for the child or the children and the earth. And I didn't connect it to my son at that time, but after he died, I realized that that was exactly what he was doing. And he had made that clear in visions after his death, that the world is in a place that so many people are crossing over and working in partnerships with those of us who are still here.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful, but a very tough experience, you know, to live through. But wow,
Yeah,
that's really.
and there was something with I think it's a silver birch. I read this the other day. It said, every soul knows before it incarnates into earth what it is that it will undertake. It is a free choice made by the larger self because it knows that its earthly journey is precisely the one needed to fulfill and obtain the necessary qualifications for the development of the larger self. You know the life that you're going to live. The hardships are chosen because to endure them and to overcome them will bring into play the latent qualities of the self, which require development to add their quota to the real, the higher, the true self. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? It's coming.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's absolutely so that we do a great deal of planning on the other side, and when we get here, though, we wouldn't think we would make such choices.
Right. Well, and we, you know, I think part of that too is we have to allow ourselves to be open to that experience because I think, you know, I do believe in like there is a free will And I do believe there is randomness that goes on in our world. But I do also feel like we do come here with sort of our own mission or what we want to experience. And I think that that's really important to stay open to your own individual experience, although we are all part of everyone's experience. But before we go on, let me give the number one more time. I guess we don't have a lot of callers. Maybe we have a lot of listeners today. But the number today is 888-627-6008. Or 323-744-4831. And we would love for you to call in with any with your experience that you've had with a loved one who has crossed to the other side. So if you'd like to call in, we would love to hear from you. Otherwise, you're just going to keep hearing from Betty and me.
Yeah.
So continue, Betty.
Oh, well, so much of my work has to do with so many of the things that are happening in our world today to prevent us from actually knowing the things we're talking about, from having those experiences. And a lot of people don't know about it. Some do. When we do, it's so frightening. And then we get over the fear and then we think, okay, what can we do about it? But I think the way that we confront all of those things in the world that are taking place, which would deny our divinity, deny the continuation of consciousness, and that see us and want us to see ourselves as flawed, inadequate beings, is that it is our challenge to really do what we're doing, to listen to our dreams, to allow the visions to take place, to listen to those from the other side. In other words, to be our full humanness of our ability to feel and to love and to have compassion, that this is how I think that we respond to those who want to continue the old world view in a much more severe way, is that we're flawed, there's no meaning, no purpose, and they're doing all kinds of things that we may or may not know about to try to thwart that. And of course, we see early on they did that, and now they're doing it too. So how do we confront that? I think it's by opening, as you're talking about, being open to our full humanity. Greg Braden talks about this in Pure Human, is that all of these aspects of our humanness are what build the bridge to our divinity, our biology, our everything in us that allows us to experience the other side while still in the body, is that that is our bridge to divinity. And I think we should nurture that, know that it exists, and really seek to be as fully human as we can. And that means connecting to our divinity.
Right. And I'm going to jump here a little bit because we're going deep here, but this is what I was thinking about too was when we were talking about, having a connection with loved ones from the other side is, sometimes something could be quick. It could be a flash when, oh, wait a minute, before I go on, we have Carol from Connecticut on line two. Carol, are you there? Okay.
Share an experience, and yes, I think we are all listening. I'm just listening with my jaw dropped. So all
Oh,
these
okay.
things
Well, and can
are
you speak a
possible.
little louder, Carol? We can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
Okay,
that's
I can
better.
hear you now.
Can you
Sure.
hear?
Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to share an experience that I had, and I have been listening with such interest to your show, and I'm sure a lot of others are also. My experience was, and I wasn't very in tune to mediums, et cetera, a lot before this, but my husband passed away about a year and a half ago. 2 years before that, he had a cardiac arrest at home, and I was able to start CPR, and we got him 2 more years, and he had a near-death experience then, which was interesting. But what happened after he passed away, I had come in the house and was sitting on my sofa, and I think I dozed off, and all of a sudden, something just came right into my face. I felt like it came out of the wall, but I know it didn't, but it just came whooshed into my face, and it looked like it was a face, and right in front of me for, I guess, a millisecond, and then whoosh, it was gone.
Wow. Yeah, that would be pretty amazing to experience that, to have that come towards you. And I mean, I feel like,
yes.
Don't you feel like that was your husband?
I do, but it was scary. I scared the heck out of me.
Well, you know what? Before I'm going to let Betty say something too, but before she does, I want to just add, you know, sometimes you got to keep in mind when our loved ones come through, they don't know exactly all the time how maybe to do the exact thing that they want to do. And he might have put a whole bunch of energy into that.
Yeah.
And boom, there he was really quick. You know what I mean?
I would say that.
Yeah. And I mean, it could be his energy. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Betty.
No, that I was thinking that too, is that you can imagine someone on the other side getting all of that energy together and coming through and thinking, oh, I must have scared her. I didn't mean to do that. You know, it just sometimes I think they might not know how it quite comes off. You know, it must be something that they learn how to do too from the other side.
Right. I mean, it just, I don't feel like it's all knowing. You know, when you get to the other side, it's not instantly all knowing. I'm thinking they have to figure out how to move that energy and the vibration and make it work. And they're trying to get through to you. And it sounds like you did it at the perfect time. You were just nodding off. You were in that relaxed state. You know, maybe you did nod off, but then you came to because you felt something with energy, and boom, then he came through. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing. But it's a beautiful experience. You know, it's something that you're not going to forget.
Yes, you know that there is something happening.
Right. But I haven't had anything I could really count on personally. But I have then now seen some mediums and have gotten some interesting facts.
Well, that's good then. That's
evidently
good.
I mean, one of the FFF mediums that I went to was very helpful, and I get a lot from that.
Yeah, I think
that's good.
To be always there when I need them.
That's right. I mean, mediums can be very helpful, you know, to us until we can have our own or in addition to our own.
Right.
Right.
And the thing is, too, is, you know, keep in mind that if you feel like maybe, you know, you had that really powerful one, you know, don't expect that for next time. Just be open to whatever comes through. And even if you think it's really small or very, you know, just, oh, I don't know, it might have happened in passing, or I had a sense of this. You know what? That's okay. That's probably coming through. And you know, it could be your husband also pulling back a little, you know, and saying, okay, I kind of overpowered you that time. Now I'm going to try to go slower, or, you know, come in a little less, you know, powerful. And, you know, it takes a lot over there. It's not like, you know, you can just pick up the phone and go, hey, how's it going? You know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Wish it would.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I wish it would too.
Right. Don't we all? Oh, wow.
So much though. I think that's a very important experience, you know, something very energetic happened.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your experience. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
All right. Wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's really, it's a perfect example of how, you know, to Betty, how everybody receives their own signs, and they're all unique. And that's what's amazing.
Exactly. And it's unique from this side, and it's unique from that side. You know, I think that how can we really know when we're on the other side until we have a little bit more experience, you know,
right,
how to do these things. But there's so many ways that that spirit and a higher reality is revealing itself. I was listening to a person the other day who was very credible, and he was working on something quite complex, and he said that through the windows he felt spirits coming. He knew they were from another dimension, not the spirit world, that they were like extraterrestrial beings, and that they entered his mind. And he said, I knew they worked on my mind to make it possible for me to understand what I was to do. I was doing it. I mean, he's a very dear person, very honest and credible. I was impressed with that, because I think it's work. It wasn't just work for himself, it was work for the world of what's going on. And he was just so appreciative and grateful and absolutely certain. He knew that's what happened. He said they were like my friends who entered, and I knew they were in my mind, and they rearranged things so that I had a higher ability to understand this work. So
Yeah,
that's,
I believe that.
I do too. So that's not so much from spirit, but from other dimensions. And sometimes we don't know when something is other dimensional or from another planet, you might say, simply just
Right.
extraterrestrial, or coming from the spirit world. Sometimes it's hard to know when they're higher beings, you know.
Right. Well, and I think that that's a lot with them, like, many of the Forever Family Foundation mediums that I know, I think that, open, they're, we're all open to, having like a spirit guide or whoever needs to come through at the time, to help us. And it doesn't have to always be the same person. It could, you might work with one specific, have, some, a guide that you work with a lot, or, I mean, I'm open a lot of times to, who needs to come through. And I may not know, I might not know exactly, from what dimension they come from, where they're coming from. And it's just kind of like you have to trust in, who you've been working with. Like, I've been doing this for so long that you learn to trust who's coming through. You have to know, and you have that feeling. And like when you said something about they were working on him, I totally have felt that. I have totally, and I think other mediums have definitely felt that as well.
I
I'm
bet.
sure. I mean, I don't want to speak for all the mediums at Forever Family, but I think they all have, you have to have that connection. You have to learn to have that connection. And I think that, sure, it's there and our loved ones are there, but there's more than just one person out there, that are connect, that we're connecting with, and that are around us. And so I think it is important, like what I always say, pay attention or stay open, because if something keeps happening, you're like, there's something more going on. And it's just really amazing. And I think that that's something that's really important, that one thing I love about the Forever Family Foundation mediums, they're all so unique. And if you go to any of the, retreats or anything, and you just watch any one of them, they are all coming from a beautiful place, and they all come from it in their own way. And I, that's why, I always say, go, when you go to their website, to Forever Family Foundation website, if you're looking for a medium, just, run down and see who resonates with you. There, somebody might stand out and you're just like, oh, hey, I'm really feeling this person's I'm connecting with. And maybe that's who you're supposed to talk to, or maybe you're just supposed to read something about that person that will resonate with you. That's going to show you something about your life that you need, maybe need to be open about. Because I know a lot of the mediums they teach, I mean, I don't do that, but I mean, a lot of the mediums, they have classes, and it's really interesting because it's a great way to see another view of where they, of how we can connect with our loved ones. And a lot of the things are similar. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of, because we are talking, you are connecting with spirit, and everyone can do that. Don't get me wrong. Every person can do that. But I think that, you're opening it up to this beautiful field of energy that's around you. And people can, different mediums can teach you how to connect in that way. And I find it really interesting how individually everybody is. And it's just like all the stories when people call in, and everybody has a different story. Some might be similar, some might not. I mean, Carol's story, it was like, it got her in the face, like, ooh, here I am, surprise, but at the same time, it can be scary, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
But you
So
know,
I think
it
that's
happened. That's
important.
important. Yeah. Well, and thinking about the Forever Family Foundation mediums, the one time that I went to Connecticut for the retreat, there was a couple there who had just lost a son, and young, and they were in such grief that they could hardly speak. I mean, it hadn't been that long, and it was just or just heartrending to be around them. And there was another couple, and I knew the other couple, and they had lost a daughter earlier. And so it was, I think it was probably the last evening, and we were outside around the fire, and the mediums then began to, one would see what happened, and then another. And one medium then, it was just an absolutely wonderful experience for all of us, because she was in touch with the son of the couple that just died not long before, and the daughter from the other couple who had died sometime before, and they were friends on the other side. They were talking on the other side, and they came through this medium to be with both sets of parents. And it was just absolutely, I mean, all of us were in just in awe of it. And that was the couple who had experienced that earlier had done a lot of healing throughout the years, but they were amazed that this young man and their daughter had met and were coming through the medium on that last night to these parents. And it was a time of joy to hear their relationship on the other side and their discoveries and so on.
Yeah, it is. It's just a beautiful experience when something like that happens, where they're connecting on the other side, and it's almost like they're validating not only each other, you know, but their families and connecting with them. And it is, that's kind of how the, you know, a lot of the grief retreats are. They're that deep and very, you know, it's beautiful the way things kind of fall into place, the pieces. It's just sort of amazing, like, wow, that's amazing. I mean, you couldn't make it happen. You couldn't ask for it to happen. It just does. I
thought about it happening that way. Yeah. And just, I have never talked with anyone who has gone to one of the Forever Family Foundation grief retreats who wasn't just absolutely amazed with it and healed.
And transformed. Yeah.
Transformed is the word, Joe. And that's another thing to add here is that, you know, when we go it alone for so long, or it's just absolutely amazing when we start meeting other people who've had similar experiences and who you realize you're co-creating or stitching this ancient knowledge back into the fabric of the present, that it's been lost, and we're all together, we're putting it back into the fabric of life. And when you meet them, it just, and hear these amazing things and experience amazing things, it's just so transforming.
Yes, it really is, Betty. And I think it's a good time to remember or remind people that, you know, when you have a personal experience, that is sacred to you. And no matter who you tell, no matter, you know, you think you're going to tell somebody who's going to love to hear it and they don't get it, that's okay.
They don't even want to hear it, never mind love to hear it.
Right. But I mean, some people, they just don't get it. And that's okay. And you have to remember that it's okay if somebody else isn't validating your experience. You've had the experience. You don't need a validation. You had your experience. It's very important that you hold on to that experience and just, you know, kind of, you can savor it and be, you know, feel blessed and honored that you had it, because it is that. It's a personal experience, and it's important to remind yourself that, you know, it's not about the outside world or what's around you. You just had a loved one who came and gave you comfort. They gave you validation in their own way. And, you know, that's something that's really important for you and not for anyone else. And when you have a heightened experience like that, then you are the only person that needs to understand it. But, you know, that's why we have the show, is to share it, because we all understand. But at the same time, I want to remind the callers, or, you know, anyone who's listening, that, you know, when you have that personal experience, if you ever come across somebody who doesn't get it, it's okay. Because, you know, I think there's so many out there who will say that, well, I can't tell anybody, or they don't understand. That's all right, because we did have it.
It is all right, but it's a little bit devastating. You know, it's like someone lets the air out of a balloon. You know, when you're so wanting to share something so sacred and wonderful and healing, and the other person just cannot hear it. It's, you know, and I think that's why we're careful about the people we do tell. You know, we learn pretty quickly, and we do seek out others who can see how incredible the experience is. But I know one of the last things my husband said is we know what we have experienced. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but sometimes matters when you think you're going to be able to communicate and you can't, and you know, you leave them thinking that what in the world is she thinking? and the hat. It doesn't feel too good. And that's why we have to be careful about the people we talk with, so that we don't get kind of depressed for a while and have to work our way back into the joy of what we've experienced. But holding on to it is very, very important. Holding on to it in the face of those who just have absolutely no idea or just take a very negative view of it.
Right, right. And that's true. And I just, you know, I always think of it like, you know, it's not only a blessing, but it's kind of like a treasure. It's better than all the gold you could imagine. It's a beautiful treasure that you can just, that you'll always keep within. It will be in your heart because, you know, when they come through, they're basically saying, I love you. They're giving you love, you know, and if they don't come through, it doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means it hasn't happened for whatever reason until it's supposed to happen. And chances are your loved ones are coming through in their own ways, and they could be little simple ways, and just, you know, just to say thank you. If you get something and it sounds silly, I guarantee you it's really not. It's kind of cool if you're like, you know, I think that was so-and-so. You know what? Thank you for coming. I got that. I don't know if that's you for sure, but I think it is. So thank you. And you know what? If you do that a couple more times, sure enough, it gets a little stronger and something else happens. And you're like, oh my gosh, it is, you know?
You know, how much time do we have, Janet? I might tell one thing more.
It's 7:52. We have a couple more minutes if you want to go ahead and share another story.
Well, I'll try to do it briefly. One of the visions that I had of our son after he had passed over was that I was lying on the bed, just meditating and thinking about him. And I had this vision that he came in through the walls just dancing. And he had on snake boots. And when he was a kid, he bought him a pair of snake boots, which he loved. He went next door to show everybody his boots and dance in them, or at least jump around in them. And so there he was. He was just dancing away. And it's like his arms and his legs were flying. And I could hear this music. It was so beautiful and in such harmony. And I realized that... and then he actually said, Mom, dance life in snake boots. And I thought it was just so beautiful because, of course, the snake is constantly shedding its skin. It's constantly transforming. And we have to be constantly able to take in something new, to change, to be fully present in a changing world. But it was so beautiful and harmonious and joyful that, yes, we can go through all kinds of changes and continue to be perhaps a transformed person, but still to have a joyful life. And after everything that had happened, it was like, Mom, dance life in snake boots, and you know, be willing to change and dance with joy.
That is a great way to end the night, Betty. That is a beautiful story. That is really cool. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. And so now you
go on.
Oh, just now you have our prayer at the end.
Yes, I will. I'll go ahead and share the prayer for the night. And then we can all remember that, you know, until next time, we will be sure to dance in snake boots, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Okay, well, our prayer is the Mahayama prayer. So may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. So we would say thank you, everyone, and you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, yes, everyone, and a good weekend. Good night.
Good night.